Last week, I introduced a way of looking at the Lord's Prayer and spoke a little bit about prayer and unity's approach to prayer. And one of the things that I spoke about was the idea of the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. And how, if you take nothing else from an everyday point of view about the words of the Lord's Prayer in general, then even just the words, Our Father, have implications that can absolutely change your world. Because what Jesus said when someone came to him and said, How should I pray? And Jesus said, the Our Father, what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. What he said is, Our Father. This implies two important life-changing ideas. One, the idea that our Father, not the praying to a God just because we're the right religion or because we wore the right things to church or we gave enough money to church or we are the right color or we live in the right city or the right country or any one of those hundreds of labels that we talk about that separate us so horribly at times. Our includes all. So that was the first part of my message. And then the second part of the message about Father is the idea that we are all related, that we are all interconnected. Again, it doesn't matter if it's Father who believes in me, it doesn't matter if it's Father who I pray to, we are all connected, one human family. And so that's where I left things last week, was this invitation for us each to look at every person and see a brother, a sister, a family member, someone with whom we are related. And just like any family, there may be some people you prefer to be related to and some you don't. And to be okay with that and still to see them as equal and worthy and precious and related. And I spoke about the fact that the Lord's Prayer is recited, this Lord's Prayer that we just recited together is repeated by millions and millions of people every day. And sure, there are some that repeat it with more intention than others. And it doesn't matter. Because what matters is taking the time to feel the feeling of gratitude, for feeling the Our Father. And yet I recognize that some people may have turned away from traditional religion and certainly have turned away from some of the traditional religious language. And in the interest of building bridges rather than chasms, I'm going to show you a different way that you can look at the Lord's Prayer and that you can say it with everybody else and internalize it with a meaning that may not be the same as everyone else's, and it won't matter. And that is a tall order to do in 20 minutes or so, but I'll do my best. What we're going to look at is called a metaphysical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. And the quick everyday language of metaphysical, what does that mean? It means that there are little characters in our head, if you will, and we all know that that is true. And it's basically taking events and people and words and directing them so that they are in us. So the shortest way to understand metaphysical interpretation is at the end of every sentence to say, in us. That has worked for me. I hope you might consider that it would work for you. So let's take a look at the very first part of our Lord's Prayer. We have, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reminds me of unity's first principle, which is one universal power. There's only one presence. And the best way for us to understand this, this Our Father in us, heaven in us, hallowedness in us, how do we do that? Well, what I'm going to ask you to consider and imagine is a group. It may be a family, it may be a work group, it may be a choir that you sing in, it may be this community. Now imagine this group of people who are all connected in some way. It could be something bigger, like the United Nations, groups of people who come together. And they're all connected in some common purpose. And you may have noticed that in any group, there will be different personalities. There will be different perspectives. They will have different strengths, different irritations that really bug us. And yet, they all come together, united in some common purpose, which is greater than any one of the individuals on their own. And imagine that this group gets together. They begin to gather, whether it's at the table or at the conference room or the dinner table or in the choir loft, wherever it might be. But they come together, the sports field. And before they get to work, they do a fist bump. Yay, team. And they remember that they are one team, connected together for one goal. Yeah, understand that picture. Everyone can get that picture. Now imagine those same personalities as parts of us. We may have a part of us which is gentle and nurturing. We may also have another part that is quite petty and mean. Another part that acts like the police officer and the judge. Another part that may be the procrastinator. And another part that is a let's get her done. We may have a perfectionist within us. We may have a warrior, somebody who worries, and we may have a warrior, someone who overcomes. And we have all of these voices within us. And sometimes it can be so confusing because we don't know which one should have precedence at any one point. But can you imagine those voices? We've all had them. We think of the angel on one side and the devil on the other. We all have these voices within us. These characters that live in our thoughts. And imagine then that as the parts of us begin our day, that we have that same fist bump experience where we have our morning meeting and we all get together to remind all of ourselves, each aspect of ourselves, that we are connected in a goal that is greater than any one of our parts. That is the way that we can think of these words. Our Father. The idea of being our own coach, bringing everyone together around the conference table for our morning meeting, connecting, remembering that we are one. All of us and all parts of us, even the parts we don't like, are part of who we are and part of the relationship with the energy of who we are. And then we move to which art in heaven. Well, heaven in us has a bit of a twofold experience. The first is our thoughts. So whatever we hold in our mind, whatever we think about, we think of as being in heaven. That's not manifest on earth. It's not real. It's in our mind. And then the other part, of course, is the aspirational part. Heaven is the place of love and joy and peace and all those good things. Coming together to create a heaven on earth when we come together for our morning meeting, so to speak. In Luke, we are told that the kingdom of God is within you. In Mark, we are told that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven happens here. And hallowed be thy name. The root of the word hallowed is wholeness. So this is an affirmation and a reminder that we are coming together at the table, gathering the troops, to remember that we are connected, to remember that we are aspiring to something greater, and that greatness that we are aspiring to is wholeness. So step one is to remember our interconnectedness. Affirm that we are whole. And gather all of the parts of us into that common remembering. Did I tell you today might be a little trippy and a little heavy? If I didn't, I'm telling you now. Next, step two. There are like six steps, and I'll go through them quicker, I promise. Step two. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom in us, the will in us, the heaven in us. Our thoughts lead to our experiences of life. That's what this means, metaphysically. What it means is what we now think of as thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, or like attracts like. Basically, it's a reminder of the principle that what we think about is often what we bring about. And there are times, absolutely, that stuff happens to us out there. And it's not saying that you caused the illness or that you caused the flood or whatever else might be going on in your world. Because that is what happens in life. But what this is saying is a reminder to us that what we think about it and how we respond matters. Unity's third principle, thoughts lead to experiences. We have dominion over our thoughts. And so this acknowledges the energetic power that we have. The fact that we have power, even in the face of something that seems like we have none. We always have the power to respond to whatever life is throwing at us. And what is true is that we cannot create a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of abundance and overcoming and contentment if we are focusing our minds on all the stuff that is wrong. And so this is a reminder for us to choose differently. If we want to create heaven on earth, we must think at the level that creates heaven on earth. So step two, we remember how energy works, knowing that our thoughts lead to the experience of life. Step three, give us this day our daily bread. If all those things are true, that we are creative beings, that we're all, whatever we give power to up here, whether it's the warrior or the warrior, whatever that character has power is going to influence how we think and therefore how we experience the world, then wouldn't it make sense for us to refocus our day intentionally every day? It's as if we have that flashlight that I spoke about last week. You know, the new flashlights that you can get are really cool because you can back them off and you get this wide beam. And then when you turn them, they focus and focus and focus. Well, this is our opportunity to do the same with our emotional energy. And how do we do that? Give us this day our daily bread. Sustenance. How do we sustain ourselves? We go into a time of silence. And that might be going for a walk. For some people, sitting is not comfortable. So whatever meditation you want to do and feels right for you, if the word meditation scares you because you fall asleep when you hear it, then don't use it. But just use, take time to be still. And allow wisdom to be the focus of your thought. Next, forgive us our trespasses. Oh my God. The other F word, forgive. Most people prefer and find the, you know, the unofficial adult one much more fun than forgiveness. And yet, what is the purpose of this? Why do we see forgiveness twice in the Lord's Prayer, but we see no instance of the word love? Why is forgiveness so important? Because it clutters us up. And so here we are reminded to unclutter, that when we are holding grudges about someone else, or when we are holding grudges about ourselves, then we are not able to focus and be the light and the love and the wholeness that we claim to aim for. And I love the term trespasses. I like it just the way it's written, because trespasses is exactly what we do when we veer into someone else's lane to tell them how they should fix themselves or what they should do. Hear that word, should. Or if only they did this, they would be happier. Trespasses is when we insist on our way rather than seeing that they are part of our Father. And so we don't want to enter into someone else's space without their permission. We are trespassing. And we do it all the time, and we do it within as well, where we try and suppress and repress and depress and denounce the parts of ourselves that we don't like. There may be that there's the protector or the judge or the critic. And what if we could see them, those characters within us, for what they really are? Which is characters who love us and are trying to protect us in some way. There's no need for forgiveness when we can understand that they are already whole. And there's no need for us to trespass when they are already whole. Untangle the knots that bind us. Forgive us our trespasses is a way to untangle ourselves and, what was your words, Nathan? Emptying out. Mm-hmm. It's a way to empty out. And why is that important? Because then we can choose where to focus when the beep hits the fan. Lead us not into temptation doesn't say there is no temptation. The temptation is to go down the anger route or the judgment route or the cut-off route. Those are huge temptations. But when we are focused on accepting and allowing and seeing the hour in each part of us as well as in each one of us, then there will be no need to consider going down the temptation route. And so we won't need to feel led towards it, because we are focused, knowing what we want to create with the energy of our thoughts. And yes, there will be temptation. And finally then, we go back. Don't respond to fear. That's the temptation. Instead, see the wholeness and live from love. And now, finally, we move into, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. This is a reminder. This is like, okay, we fist bumped. We gathered our thoughts together, we organize them, we realized that we are energetic beings. We've chosen to live from wholeness and that aspirational place, recognizing that how we think is going to affect how we show up. And because we are energetic beings, it will affect everyone around us too. And so what we've chosen to do is ground ourselves in meditation. Give us our day, this day our daily bread. We've chosen to clear the clutter, forgiveness. And we've chosen to be laser focused, leading ourselves not into temptation. And now this is like, okay, so we're done all those things. Let's just remember. This is bringing us back to the truth, which is the kingdom of God is within us. Ours is the kingdom. Ours is the power. And ours can be the glory. And it most certainly is so. And so think back to that table, all those parts of us. And next time you say the Lord's Prayer, say it to yourself, to all the disparate parts of you, and bring them back together, united in that common purpose. Our Father, wholeness, completion. We remember our wholeness. We remember how energy works. Our thoughts create our experiences. We focus. We feed ourselves. We clear the clutter. And we choose from a place of solid knowing. And it is so. I bless you.